From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Invasive plant species are threatening local ecosystems in southeast Alaska, and Skagway's local tribal government is working to stop the spread. KHNS's Mike Swayze caught up with the Skagway Traditional Council's field crew this week to find out more about battling the invaders.
What did you say that final count was?
1416.
Reuben Cash is standing on the roadside by the White Pass rail yard a couple of hundred feet from the Skagway River. He's got a portable computer in his left hand, and he's mapping the location of invasive plant species.
This is a member of the pea family. It's a Eurasian plant called white sweet clover. And as you can see, every little one of these flower inflorescences has, you know, 5 to 100 flowers. And the bigger plants can have up to, I couldn't even give you a count, but there are probably thousands of seeds produced from every single plant.
He works as the environmental coordinator with the Skagway Traditional Council, the local tribal government. Cash and his co-workers have been gathering location data and pulling up plants by the hundreds for the last few summers. The white sweet clover is a delicious-smelling plant with white flowers that grows in bunches in gravelly patches in distressed soils.
So the pea family is what's called the pioneer species. They're the first ones to move in after, like, mosses and the lichens really set the stage. They come in and they put nitrogen into the soil so they make it possible for a plant community to flourish.
Well, that sounds like a good thing.
It seems like it'd be a good thing, right? But everything in moderation. This doesn't belong on this continent. And so because it's one of those pioneer species, that's one of the reasons that it does so well, because it doesn't need to have conditions ideal for it to come in here. It can grow pretty much anywhere you throw it.
Because it's a non-native plant, the ecosystem hasn't designed ways to keep it in check. Cash says if these invasive species are left to their own devices, they will eventually choke out native species.
Because right, normally in a plant community, you know, you have these plants that are growing side by side with one another, and yeah, they keep each other in check so that nothing grows too abundantly. But with invasive species, there's not those mechanisms built into the community, so they just run rampant.
White sweet clover isn't the only plant on the hit list.
We're actively watching the reed canary grass invasion over at Pullen Creek. Really hitting heavy on the white sweet clover. We've been watching out for orange hawkweed. Orange hawkweed has been seen in a couple different spots around town. And then hopefully we'll be rolling out a campaign this year for the yellow toad flax, the butter and eggs. Try and get the community on board and seeing if we can make a dent on it.
Yellow toad flax is a beautiful addition to a bouquet, but it's a vining plant, and as such, it's very difficult to control once it starts to spread.
Pretty soon, we'll have nothing but reed canary grass, white sweet clover, and yellow toad flax. That'll just be what's here. That's not very good for our pollinators. It's not very good for all the higher organisms up the food chain that are all relying on the native vegetation here.
Imagine a roadside with all the yarrow and fireweed and lupin replaced with only invasive species. It's a scenario the Skagway Traditional Council has been battling to prevent for the last 6 years. Cash says without the use of toxic chemical pesticides, the best course of action is to painstakingly pull these plants out of the ground.
Pull every last one that we can find, and hope that we've gotten to it before it's too late.
He's encouraging others in Skagway to join the fight. If people see an invasive species on the list, especially white sweet clover, Cash asks that they log the location with their smartphone.
Open your Maps app, hit the little crosshair target so that it centers on your position, and then just press and hold on the screen. It'll drop a pin and give you the option to share that.
Then email him the location. His contact is available at skagwaytraditional.org. Reporting from Skagway, I'm Mike Swayze.
Senator Lisa Murkowski is not backing away from her position that the Capitol riot on January 6th was a desecration of democracy and that former President Donald Trump is responsible for inciting it. Senator Murkowski was in Sitka on Saturday, July 10th, following an event in Ketchikan on Friday to celebrate the return of large cruise ships to Alaska under legislation sponsored by her and colleague Senator Dan Sullivan and Alaska Congressman Don Young. Her visit to Sitka was more of a courtesy call to check in with local leaders on the infrastructure infrastructure bill making its way through Congress and to discuss energy issues. But the courtesy ended when the conversation turned to Trump. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Most of Senator Lisa Murkowski's visit to Sitka was practical, touring the Science Center, meeting with the mayor and the municipal administrator, visiting the Green Lake Hydroelectric Project, which is due for an upgrade. There are many moving parts in Washington, D.C. right now, with President Biden pushing a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill that Republicans would like to pare down to something more in the range of $900 billion. Senator Murkowski is the senior Republican on the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. Even though Alaska is an oil state, she believes the industry can demonstrate leadership in energy-efficient production, and she thinks there's the potential to develop low-carbon transit right here in Sitka.
Transit can be buses, transit can be ferries. And so one of the reasons that I wanted to talk with the folks over at Allen Marine is, what's the potential that we might have for electric ferries? You look at the Scandinavian countries, not necessarily EVs, but hybrid-type ferry systems are in operation. Part of our challenge is the range. You have to have batteries that are sufficient, so it's not easy. But I think we need to be looking to the future. If we're going to be building out new ferries, let's make sure that our ferries are going to last us 50 years, right?
Murkowski has chaired the Energy Committee for 6 years and served another 6 years as ranking member. She's gained fluency with energy issues like carbon fee and dividend and has a practiced ease discussing Alaska's role in a world where those will become the dominant issues. It's only in talking about the January 6th Capitol riot that Senator Murkowski goes off script. To say she remains bothered about the breach of the Capitol and its aftermath is an understatement. That the Senate has done little to root out and condemn its origins has angered her.
I'm still very, very disappointed that following the events of January 6th, where all of us, every single senator, was in that chamber, when that Capitol was breached by an angry, violent mob and our Capitol was desecrated, when the effort to stop an election that was inflamed by the words and the actions of our former president up to that event and the day of that event, and we were all there, and to have the thought that we should have an independent investigation, a bipartisan investigation of that event, and that was rejected by the Senate, is still shocking to me.
Senator Murkowski was one of six Republican senators to support the creation of a bipartisan commission to investigate the January 6th Capitol riot. But other Senate Republicans filibustered the bill, and it fell 6 votes shy of the 60 needed to break the filibuster. She was also one of the 7 Republicans who voted to convict President Trump for instigating the riot at his second impeachment trial. That earned her an official censure from Alaska's Republican Party. Murkowski's historic win as a write-in candidate in 2010 freed her from the traces of the Republican establishment and of the former president. Murkowski suggests that there are some willing to forgive and forget rather than give up political advantage. She, however, is aiming at a higher principle.
If you don't know the full facts behind it because you don't want to know the truth, that's a problem for us.
Following her weekend visit to Ketchikan and Sitka, Senator Murkowski returned on Sunday to Washington, where Congress remains in session until its summer recess on August 9th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
In other news, the U.S. Forest Service has finished gathering feedback on deferred maintenance throughout Alaska. Sites include cabins, trails, roads, bridges, and boat ramps on national forest land. In the Petersburg area, the projects with the most comments were Petersburg Lake Trail improvements and Snake Ridge Road resurfacing. Commenters said the Petersburg Lake Trail on Kuprinoff Island is often hard to follow due to fallen trees and beaver activity. They also noted a lack of markers in some sections of the trail. Snake Ridge Road is used to access Crystal Mountain. Commenters said it's difficult to drive up without a high clearance vehicle and four-wheel drive. Another popular suggestion for the area was to make more clearly marked designated trail on Crystal Mountain. The Forest Service also accepted new project suggestions. For more on this and other news stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.